It's the Real Estate Podcast, brought to you by ANZ Home Loans for financial well-beings.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Real Estate Breakfast on this May weekend. Talking real estate, of course, the latest property news as heard on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts and Amazon. As we dive into our breakfast on this Sunday morning, looking forward to a coffee in just a moment. It is May the 19th and another busy weekend of plenty of real estate to look at. Of course, the auctions are happening today. Yesterday proved to be another busy day right around the country, and it proved to be another busy week here at the Real Estate Podcast. Coming up in just a moment, we are going to reflect back on some of our featured guests, which included talking to, once again on this two-parter, with Shannon Battison, talking about sustainable design. We also spoke to Corrine, Alan and Anne Murray about this log-curved home set in the Dandenong Ranges. And a Sydney first home buyer finally managed to buy into Sydney. He was very tempted, along with his family, to move to Queensland, but hung tough and got the right result. John Rivera we caught up with and talked about the Gold Coast record highs. Buyers are heading to Logan as a result of some of the prices in Brisbane, Moreton Bay and Redlands as we reflect across our weekend. Next.
Ready to step up your property knowledge? Access powerful insights with us.
Making sure that insulation is going where it really, really needs to go. And that kind of, you know, whole of community thinking, I think there's a real reticence between architects and builders at times. I think we've got a real thing to overcome, because I think when it comes to sustainability, what we need is homeowners, government, builders and architects all working together to make sure that those really simple things that actually probably don't cost anything at all get thought about before we start, you know, work on site.
I know that people listening will be thinking, really? You know, the window's going in the wrong place. But that is a fundamental basic mistake that is happening multiple times every day right across Australia. People are building these homes where they're just not, as you say, thinking about basic things like windows. And it really does sort of boggle the mind. It also applies to sustainability, how people don't know all the facts, how people are, in a lot of aspects, are in the dark when it comes to this.
Yeah, it does. And it's not for a lack of information out there, but I think one of the things that we come up against is that people find it a bit daunting, the level of information that's out there. There's some really great Facebook pages that talk about, you know, efficiency in housing and lots of great, you know, social media accounts that you can follow to kind of get tips. But one of the best things I find to help clients who are really early in that journey of understanding what, you know, could help is government resources like the Your Home website. So something that just really breaks it down to, here are some principles about making sure you put the windows on the right side of the house so that they get good sunlight in and they're easy to protect from bad sunlight. Making sure you put insulation in your builds. Believe it or not, there's plenty of houses that get built around Australia to this day that don't have insulation. Making sure that you use the best windows that your budget can afford, and then making sure you actually plant a garden around your house. One of the things that I think is the most difficult, especially in our new suburbs where we're getting really difficult effects of heat island effect, is that people surround their house with concrete. And on really hot summer days and when we're getting longer and longer heat periods, all of that concrete just heats up and then releases that heat back into your house. And the good old-fashioned idea of having garden beds, a little bit of grass maybe, but most importantly, some deciduous trees will make such a huge difference to how well your house performs and also make it a much nicer space to be in and look out into a garden.
From investment strategies to market analysis, know your property with us on the Real Estate Podcast.
Yeah, it's a bit of a coincidence. I've been 54 years married last week, so we've done a lot of things together, a few houses. Anne's the creative one and I'm the implementer, and we're a good team.
Tell us a little bit about the design for the listener, just in terms of the aesthetic and what you went for.
Well, when the architect came up, they found a fallen tree And I said, I really want you to go out there. I know what I want inside, but I don't know what I want outside. So they came back and said, oh, maybe we've gone too far. And I said, well, what's too far? And they showed us this design of what looked like a fallen log. It was black. It was colour-bond. It was completely round. Had small windows, very long windows for the environment and the shape of it, which worked out really well. But all I could think of was, could I live in a black house?
Yeah.
And my thoughts suddenly went, well, I'm going to have to put a lot of colour inside. But as time's gone on, you don't notice it. It's just blended into the bush now.
Yeah, fantastic. And, of course, it helps that husband Alan is an engineer, of course, with all of this.
That's right. I could never have been done without him. Even the architect said you could never have afforded to have it done without him.
Yeah, it's got that wow factor, no doubt about that. Now, just to talk about the difficulties, as Alan was sort of highlighting there, building in the Dandenong Ranges because of the protection that the area has.
Oh, look, certainly we live in a green wedge zone with as many overlays and so forth because we don't want to impact the environment. Subdivision is a rarity up here. We like to have our space around us, so we're finding people escaping from the hills to not have the buildings going up next to them and so forth. We're very green up here, so to speak, and we like the separation. We like to go on the walking tracks and around, and these properties have got minimal impact on the environment, which we love. We're amongst Mother Nature, and it is certainly a lovely place to live. I live and work and breathe up here, as we call it, the lungs of Melbourne, so it's a terrific spot.
Don't navigate the real estate market alone. Let us help guide you in the world of real estate every day. Make better informed decisions with the latest news and insights.
So how bad is this? You said that you have been working in the market for 20 years. How bad?
I've never seen what is actually happening to in terms of the residential market. I've never seen the impacts that we've had from a demand, from a supply, you know, from a shortage point of that supply and versus that demand, you know, the rental crisis, construction constraints, all these impacts are, I've never seen them firing at this level or the ferocity of what we're seeing. So this is something that is exciting, but it's also got its significant challenges, particularly for obviously buyers.
I mentioned Logan. Now, that is an area that we have talked about. Now, if people are fleeing to Logan, isn't the same sort of problem going to affect Logan with what is happening around other areas?
Absolutely. And look, I love Logan. I was born and raised in Logan. I've seen what's happened in that environment and that market. And Logan used to be an affordable area. It used to be really well located, obviously, between Brisbane and the Gold Coast. You know, you could go and get a new house and land or even an older mature home and be under $500,000. That market now, I'm selling in Logan with a 7 in front of it for a house and land. It's even in some cases well above the first homeowner's grant of $750,000. These are areas that used to be affordable are now becoming out of reach. The investor is definitely capitalizing because the rental rates there are now also above $600 a week. So this is, again, like these traditional markets like Logan, Ipswich and Moreton Bay Council, they are transgressing into what we've seen in Sydney. And this is why I keep saying, you know, this market this year, it was all about trying to get in before with a 5 in front of it in terms of a package. Now it's about a 6 and it's almost, will it be a 7 next year?
And from a first home buyer's grant and first home buyers themselves, disillusionment, I mean, it's so strong at the moment with everything that's going on. I mean, the media are talking about all the main talking points. But I do feel that first-time buyers, they're just getting beaten up all the time from one direction to another.
Absolutely. And there used to be, you know, we used to have finance products that were suited towards first home buyers. You know, if you looked at, you know, prior to the Royal Commission in the finance sector, the banks were a little bit more freer. Now it's a pretty vanilla finance market, meaning that, you know, you don't really have too many options to get a loan or to have a more aided loan that helps a first home buyer right now. And so coupled with construction challenges that obviously affect the finance sector, where they can live, the timeframes that's blowing out as well from a construction. Like we've seen projects blow out because of obviously, you know, many factors, including both, you know, the government side as well as the development side, but they blow out, which then leads to more price increase because builders can't afford to build that price anymore. So this is like a really hot point for a first home buyer. It's one that, how do you navigate that? And there's not a lot of support for them. It's not easy for them out there.
Don't forget to subscribe. We have hundreds of episodes all designed to help you better understand the constantly evolving and dynamically changing real estate property market.
And when did you finally buy?
We literally bought about a month ago. So we've just recently moved into our townhouse.
Oh, how good is that? How good?
It's great. Yeah. It's still lots to unpack and whatnot. But at least we feel a bit more settled that it's our own property now. And yeah, we can go with it now.
And are you sort of looking at long term? You know, many people in the Sydney market, they buy and they just sit for a decade. Are you planning on just doing exactly that?
Next 5 years, definitely want to stay here, stay put, and then potentially look to get, because I've got two young boys as well, so look to potentially get a bigger place if we can. If not, we'll get an investment somewhere, just try and do something else with the money. That's the plan.
Now, you have stuck it out because so many people are just not in a position to buy a Sydney property, whether it's an apartment, a unit, a townhouse, or a house. Obviously, a house is kind of out of the question for most people these days because of the median house price around that $1.6 million. But you stuck it out. So what made you sort of stick to Sydney and say, no, we will not be moved?
We were talking about it. So me and my wife were talking about potentially going to like Queensland and Brisbane because the prices are a bit cheaper up that way. But like we really enjoy Sydney. Since we've been here, we've really enjoyed it. And then my son started school this year as well. So we didn't really want to be moving him around too much. What we decided was, look, we can still stay in Sydney, but move a little bit out of where we were living previously. And we could potentially afford something. And yeah, we were grateful that we did find something.
Now, when it comes to a mortgage broker, how quickly did you engage? Because you are with Anthony Landau's Equilibria Finance. Raj is looking after you, and we'll be talking to Raj in just a moment. But how early in the process did you engage with them?
So funnily enough, I've known Raj for a few years now, actually, since I actually moved to Sydney. Yeah, we've always spoken about, obviously, homes and buying, etc. When I said to Raj, look, I'm looking to buy, let's get going with the process. And to be honest with you, it was pretty quick with these guys. They're really good, really professional. And I think we turned it around within at least 3 to 6 months.
All right. Well, perhaps, Rishi, you could give us two or three things that people are a little bit perhaps surprised about. You know, like a Rishi comes in to see you guys and people are surprised at maybe some of the processes that they've got to go through, some of those hurdles to become a property owner in the Sydney property market.
Well, there's always two things that first home owners have a surprise about. And the first one is how much deposit they actually need based on what they're looking to purchase in and around the area, along with what it's actually going to cost ongoing. So with interest rates being at a record high since, I don't know, the 1990s, when people understand what the repayments look like, that's always a bit of a nasty shock. But also the upfront amount of savings that people need to buy a property in Sydney whilst people are actually renting in Sydney, it's always a bit of a tall order.
Navigate the world of real estate like a pro with expert insights, opinions and trends to up your game and knowledge when buying your next property.
I'll let you in on a little secret. There's an advertising agency that got in touch with us and wanted to know whether we would be interested in taking a product. This is one of those rather large camper vans like a Tobago, and do a bit of a tour across the country and sort of promote them at the same time. Can you imagine that? Like, we've got it all set up with the podcast and we can drag people in off the street and they can tell us how they're feeling about the real estate market.
That is so cool. So like a proper motorhome with a bed and a kitchen and everything?
Yeah, yeah. Brand new, top of the line. The company, I won't mention the company because we're kind of thinking about it at the moment and the, you know, the price point has got to be right. It's got to be worthwhile us doing. A competing competitor might be listening to this thinking, oh yeah, we'd like to do that. But it's interesting because the advertising agency has got in touch with us because of the fact that we are talking about real estate and there is this connection between real estate owners and people that buy these very expensive units. So it's quite smart thinking on behalf of the advertising agency.
Oh, definitely. And you know what? It's so, because I think in the media and even like in a lot of reports, it's all data and analysis and maybe only from certain parts of Australia. And so actually being able to go around and interview the locals and see how they're feeling and, you know, in places that maybe people haven't thought of or haven't even heard of, that would be so cool.
Yeah, and I guess the other point is that we can connect with all of our regulars like you, so we sort of roll into town and say, come on down, you know, we can do a face-to-face in the RV.
That means we just have to time it well between my, you know, national research tour and the caravan tour.
Yeah, so I don't know whether that's going to be a thing that will happen. In fact, if you think that's a good idea, you should let us know to that email address, myrealestatepodcast@gmail.com. What do you think? Would you actually come in and meet us if we pulled into town in this RV? Could be a lot of fun, like you say.
Oh, yeah, I think it would be quite a lot of fun, actually. You know, the locals will probably tell you some trade secrets and like things that they've been noticing in their own local area that no one has heard of or no one knows about. Yeah, it could probably end up to be really, really interesting.
I'm a bit worried that I might get fat, though, with all of these this food that would be brought in, you know, all these treats, because I've got a bit of a sweet tooth, but I do like to control my weight. My sister says to me, you're crazy the way that you are so strict with what you eat, but you are what you eat. And, you know, I don't want to be getting into that diabetes problem in later life.
Oh, I completely understand. Like when I'm traveling, because there are some local foods that you just have to sample. And sometimes you see things that you don't normally see in your own habitat, that you just kind of go, nope, you know, no diet today. I have to have this. I have to sample this. I have to sample this particular wine or particular type of drink. But you do, when you're traveling so much, you do have to have a routine that involves some sort of exercise, whether it's at the gym or a 5K run or whatever it might be.
We connect you to the best real estate information across Australia. The Real Estate Podcast.